The mission of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale can be stated simply: to inspire the love of great choral music. The Susquehanna Valley Chorale was founded in 1969 and has grown to well over 100 auditioned members. The chorale is the region's only community choral group dedicated to presenting orchestra-accompanied choral music of major standing. We might survey the ensemble's long and strong history to demonstrate their love and dedication to music, to each other, and to the community at large, or we could focus in on one significant musical project that reveals their sense of mission writ large. Here's just a bit of the story of Alzheimer's Stories, told by Varshali Chalapila from Making Sense of Alzheimer's. Over a decade ago, when the Susquehanna Valley Chorale approached composer Robert Cohen to create a very specific musical work, he wanted to say no. An anonymous member of the chorus had made a substantial donation toward a piece in memory of the person's parents who had passed away with Alzheimer's disease. It was a very odd situation. In a million years, I wouldn't think of writing a piece about Alzheimer's disease, Cohen said. But then I started thinking about it, and I said to myself, that's the very reason to do it, because nobody else would do it. Following its premiere in 1929 at the Y Center for the Performing Arts in Lewisburg, the critically acclaimed Alzheimer's Stories has been performed nearly 50 times or more nationwide. It is one of the most performed classical pieces of its size, with a choir of 50 to 200 voices and an instrumental ensemble. Alzheimer's Stories follows the history and experience of Alzheimer's disease, marking its recognition in 1906, narrating the recollections of chorus members and friends who have experienced Alzheimer's disease, and paying tribute to the caregivers who care for loved ones with the disease. Robert Cohen composed the music alongside Grammy Award-winning librettist Herschel Garfein. When Cohen called me up and asked if I was interested, I said, no way, Garfein said. I remember saying specifically, run away. Just turn and run from this, because it's too difficult a topic. And I personally felt like I could never do it justice. While on a drive back from Lewisburg, where the two artists had met with the chorus members of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale, Garfein was struck with the idea to use the true experiences of many of the millions of people whose lives are pervaded by Alzheimer's disease. I had this idea that, well, instead of my trying to come up with some words on this subject that I felt ill-equipped to tackle, I thought, in any given community in the United States, so many people are affected by this disease. Let me get the words from them, Garfein said. That was definitely the turning point in this piece. A private blog was designed to allow members of the chorus, as well as family and community members, to contribute their own accounts of their experiences with the disease. Nearly 70 submissions were received over the course of a few months. It was really remarkable because the level of detail, emotional honesty, and the level of insight in what these people said was just a dream come true, Garfein said. What I really admire and love in language is the sense of what I think of as inadvertent poetry. When somebody expresses themselves so clearly and so honestly that it has a kind of poetic sparkle to it. In these accounts, I found all these remarkable things that ended up in the piece that these people just said because they had been through it and they knew what it was. Alzheimer's Stories is divided into three movements in an effort to capture three different perspectives and follow the arc of the disease from consciousness to unconsciousness. The Stories is the second movement that explores the behaviors and moments of memory loss among patients diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. One of the stories woven into the movement was of a woman who visited her father weekly in the nursing home to sing him a song from his past. One week, she was out of songs to sing. but her father pleaded with her to simply sing. Sing anything, he had said to her. Sing anything triggered the third movement for Garfine, who cannot recall the story without tears in his eyes. The third movement, The Caregivers, is dedicated to the people who care for their loved ones with Alzheimer's disease. The story of the woman singing for her father served as proof of the restorative function of music for the composers, and it became the touchstone for the last movement. This was perfect. I cried for 2 days and said, "Oh my God, this is like perfection," Cohen said. The real irony to this whole thing is that it wasn't until several years later that research started coming out indicating that music does have this palliative element to it, that people who don't know who they are, where their kids are, will be able to sing back a song that they learned when they were 5 or 6 years old perfectly. It's really astounding. It gives me chills. I remember a woman I worked with closely said, "What would you like on your gravestone?" "I want it to say, 'He moved people,'" Cohen said. "I think that's what this piece means to me. I've never had a response to anything I've ever written that has been as profound as the response I get to Alzheimer's stories. And that's a great honor. It's a great feeling of achievement." Befittingly, the line to carry the piece through to the end sings in a cathartic crescendo. Love and music are the last things to go. Sing anything. Sing. Sing anything. Sing, sing, sing. It seems that the key word in the Susquehanna Valley Chorale mission statement might be love, and we might think we know what the word means. Affection, perhaps, even passion. But love is such a multifaceted word that we might not even exhaust its superficial, let alone subtle, nuanced senses. We are going to hear right here a choral work titled simply Love by SVC music director and conductor William Payne, commissioned by the Susquehanna Valley Chorale itself. This is a 10-movement piece with Payne's musical settings of poets from Elizabeth Barrett Browning, E.E. Cummings, Langston Hughes, and his own words at the close, exploring, as we're told, the human need for connection, kindness, and eloquent expressions of the human condition. If this choral piece, titled Love, holds up to the light and to our hearts, many senses of the love come to light and touch our heart. Celebrating the beauty of words and their limits, sometimes only music can go deeper, as we know. If so, then the Alzheimer's story is a living embodiment of the power of music to go deeper still, deep to the point of comforting and even healing us. And such a musical experience gets to the heart of the mission of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale, goes below the surface to have a lasting impact on listeners in this region and now the world over. As William Payne, music director and conductor of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale, prepares to retire, he will lead his final performance featuring the chorale, soloists, and the SVC stage band. And it is a Pops concert at Susquehanna University's Weber Auditorium this Saturday, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. We had a chance to reminisce with Bill Payne in anticipation of this bittersweet celebration.
I have been with the Susquehanna Valley Chorale for 30 years. I started in 1996 as their music director and conductor, and have had an amazing ride with this ensemble. So I decided to retire this year. I turned 80 in February, and I just thought, it's time. I've had such a great time with this group. And, you know, there are mixed emotions that go with retirement, and I'm full of gratitude and nostalgia, but of course there's a bit of sadness as well. And so this season has been a part of my final bow with the chorale, and our upcoming Pops concert will definitely be my final time with the ensemble.
Before we get to what you're going to bring us, Bill, tell us, if you would, some of the remarkable highlights of those 30 years. You compose, and so you were able to hear music by your ensemble that you composed, those sorts of things.
Yes, well, thank you. Yes, that was, unfortunately, we had to live through COVID. And so during that time, the chorale commissioned me to write a work that would be performed when we could all get together again. And so I wrote Love, a piece called Love, which is a multi-movement work and included in the number of commissions that the chorale has done. So I was very grateful for that opportunity, but also for other opportunities to kind of accentuate the fact that there are so many wonderful composers out there that need to have their music heard. Probably the number one thing that I'm most proud of is that we commissioned Robert Cohen and Herschel Garfine to write a work called Alzheimer's Stories, which was premiered 10 years ago. And we were able to perform it again a couple of years ago. And it's a work that's become world renowned. And we're so very proud of the fact that we were the ones that instituted that. You know, probably one of the things that I'm most proud about is that we instituted a student scholarship program so that we now involve 8 students from our local universities, and they sing with us and we pay them to sing with us. So I have every section represented by students. Right now, we have students from Bucknell and from Susquehanna University. But we have in the past had from other universities in the area, including Mansfield and Bloomsburg. You know, one thing that I really loved about this chorale was that they were willing to sing about social issues. And music, you know, speaks so loudly when words cannot. And so many years ago, we did a performance called Sing for the Cure, and we donated to the Susan G. Komen Foundation to help breast cancer with that concert. We sang a concert about women's rights, well, everyone's rights, really, but it was called Amendment and was, of course, about the 19th Amendment. We celebrated Black History Month one year by singing a work called Let My People Go. And so it goes on. Over the years, I've been very fortunate and grateful to have a group of people who are willing to sing about important issues that come to us. I could go on and on, Erica. There's so many wonderful things that happened in my 30 years that it would take a couple of hours for me to talk about all of those.
Time for a memoir.
You got it.
Well, let me ask you this, too, about the ensemble, because you were very lovely in praising them. Is there a sense that, as people can, there is longevity in the body of the chorale? People have been able to stay on, and I would think it would grow in terms of a sense of family among all of you.
Oh, I'm so pleased you brought that up, because beyond the music, it's the sense of community and camaraderie that I will miss the most. It's been more than just a choir. It's been a family. And in fact, our upcoming Pops concert, the final piece that we are singing is We Are Family. And I'm really excited because most of my family is traveling to come to my final concert from Florida, from Philadelphia area, from Virginia. And I look at the Susquehanna Valley Chorale as a very supportive family. We've supported each other through life's joys and challenges. You know, just getting through COVID was amazing to deal with. And I'll cherish those friendships and those bonds that we've formed over the years. It's pretty amazing.
Well, then take us to this performance that's coming up and how you wanted it to be.
Well, we started planning this a couple of years ago, because that's when I alerted the chorale that I was going to retire in 2026. So we decided that for my two final Pops concerts, we would choose the best of my 30 years. And so last year was part one of that. And this year is part two of the best of Pops music. And, you know, the Pops concert is very popular here. It's a big thing for us and allows us to raise money in order to do all of the things that we do, because people are so very generous and come to our Pops concerts. This one includes both music from movies and musicals and also pop and rock. So the whole genre, we're going from probably Irving Berlin era all the way through current pop music, and that especially music that was popular, considering the Beatles and Michael Jackson and all of those great performers. So it's a conglomerate of a lot of music. And I think probably the word has gotten out that I do change costumes and outfits to represent various parts of the Pops concert and to represent some of the music. So I will be doing that again this year as well.
You will have hankies, but it's lovely to have that spirit. And it seems that there may be some instrumentalists involved.
You got it. We have a wonderful stage band. And they've been with me these 30 years. And it's pretty much the same personnel that I've worked with for 30 years for Pops concerts. So that's bittersweet as well. You know, I know these guys so well and their capabilities, and we always have a good time. We have good laughs, and they're so easy, because I just go in and they've looked at their music that we sent them, these arrangements that are made by some of the members of the stage band. And Rob Byam is one of our arrangers, and he's amazing, and just I love what he does. And they come in and we do it. I have one rehearsal with the chorus with them, and it works, because we've worked together for 30 years.
And that's a key. That's the family nature. You don't even need your nod, and that's it.
That's right. And even when I'm backstage changing into another costume, I know that they can go on without me standing in front of them to accompany a lot of our soloists. And that's another great aspect of these Pops concerts, is that we feature many of our very talented singers in the chorale. This year we've got, I think, 10 of them that are singing solos, and it's incredible. I mean, you feel like you're in New York City or in Chicago or Washington, D.C., going to amazing concerts at Avery Fisher Hall, or, you know, it's incredible. I've been so blessed, Erica.
And you know the community will say the same thing about you, Bill. Speaking of venues, you have had the beautiful opportunity to perform in a number of venues, but your home, Zion Lutheran Church, is not for this performance, but that's been a home base for you, and you also perform at Weber Chapel Auditorium.
Right, right. And this Pops concert will be at Weber Chapel. We're doing one performance on Saturday night, the 2nd of May. We're gonna pretty much fill that auditorium, I think, which is not easy to do. It's a big space, but I think the word's gotten out what we're doing, and that'll be great. And of course, yes, Zion Lutheran Church has always been one of my most favorite venues. But we've sung all over the place, you know, and we collaborated with Williamsport Symphony on occasions in Williamsport. We sang at the campus theater. We did a major work there along with a silent movie. So that was fun. And we've sung at Rusty Rail in Mifflinburg, the brewery. And we did a Dylan oratorio, which I'm so grateful for all of these opportunities that we've had.
So many people know the cover of the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album we have here right behind me, the LP. Now, you're not going to dress up in a uniform like that, or are you?
I am. That's the very first thing on the program. So it's okay, because I was, several years ago, was one of the first times that I did an outfit for one of these Pops concerts. And so I had a Sgt. Pepper costume made for me, and it's what we're starting the program with. Yeah. Believe it or not, I tell this story. You know, I was coming home from the Pops concert, and I was wearing that outfit. And would you know it, I was stopped for speeding. And the cop took one look at me and said, "I'm just going to give you a warning." So those are great stories. When I first started one concert, a Pops concert, even before that, I do remember I wore a Grinch costume, and I conducted a good part of the second half in a Grinch costume. So.
Well, I hope there are photos in the archives of those performances.
I think there are, yeah. And for this Pops concert, I'm doing 8 costume changes.
I hope you have a dresser.
I do, yeah. My executive director, she's been doing it for years, and it's so helpful. And, you know, I'm really, really excited because for the future of SVC, because my replacement at Bucknell, Caleb Hopkins, is going to be the new director. And he's already been meeting many of the singers, and they're excited to work with him. It's interesting because there's similarities with the two of us. He's very tall. He's actually taller than I am. And his birthday happens to be the same day as mine. It's just that he's like, 40 years, 50 years younger than I am. But yeah, it's great. I love the transition that's going to take place and passing the baton on to him.
Because you have such longevity and because you're such a thoughtful, not just a musician, but thoughtful person, Bill, what do you think about 30 years ago and now in terms of maybe the appetite for music in the community or the need for music in our communities? What's changed on that level, the music level, in our lives or in our communities or in our world?
Of course, that's a really great question, Erica. And you know, what has changed, I think, is the fact that we, as a society, we're isolated. You know, we go to social media. We are on our phones. We can order groceries through delivery. We don't even have to show up at a grocery store. And you know, in the past, you'd go to a grocery store and you'd see all your friends and you know, talk to them, and that's not happening. We can text everything. We don't have to talk to anybody, actually. And that's a huge change from when I started 30 years ago. Cell phones were not a part of our existence at that point. So I think as people who want to come to concerts and as those who are singing here in the Susquehanna Valley Chorale, being in a choir really activates socialization. And coming to concerts activates socialization. The impact of music on our society right now is so, so important. And, you know, we can listen and live stream and do all this stuff, but to be a part of an actual concert, a performance, a live performance, whether you're the performer or the audience, is so extremely important. And I guess what I've said to my singers is, and I've said this to them more than once, keep singing, keep inspiring, and keep sharing your gift of music with everyone you come in contact with, because that sharing is so important, and we seem to be losing that a bit these days.
You may not have more time, but if you have time, would you be more inclined to sit down and compose?
Yes, that's one of my desires for when I retire. I've had to put that on the shelf for a while just because there's no time. And COVID gave me the time to do that work, love. And that's getting out there. I've had several performances. I just came back from a performance in California, in Los Angeles, of my work. So that gives me encouragement to continue to compose. So in my retirement, that's one of the things that I plan to do on a regular basis, along with, you know, having the opportunity to be with my family and for Ruth and I to continue to travel while we can.
I know you live in a beautiful spot and it's Earth Day today. Do you garden?
Yes. We, as many people know, we live on an organic farm, which is my wife's legacy. Her father, Paul Keene, founded Walnut Acres Foods, and he was the first organic farmer in the United States, basically. This is the farm we live on is America's first organic farm. And so on a day like this, you know, you are so grateful for nature and for what it gives us. And we still work the farm, but Ruth and I don't. We have people who come in and you know, plow the fields and do all of that. But we have a garden that Ruth shares with the Walnut Acres Foundation with people who have a need for food. So we grow this garden and then we donate all of the food to those who need it. And so, yeah, Earth Day is very important to us.
William Payne, composer and music director and conductor of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale. And here now are words he has written, bringing to a close his choral work titled Love, and we hear how his personal sense of love is inextricably connected to the world of nature, to night, the skies, the dawn.
I Have Come to See by William Payne. I have come to see the night, its silken blackness woven, bathed in the silence of the skies. Is this not love? Night and dawn seeking connection, each embracing the longing. Tell me a story of love, yours. Mine is the night and dawn. I have come to see the dawn, its stillness unaware of the abruptness of broken calm and naked light. I have come to see the night and the dawn, both expectant, both innocent, one silent, one still. Each awaits, not at all patient, until reaching, surrendering one to the other in that brief moment of ecstasy. I have come to see the night and the dawn. I have come to see love.
Have Come to See, words by William Payne. The final movement of Love, a work by William Payne, commissioned by the Susquehanna Valley Chorale and performed by the ensemble, by the Susquehanna Valley Chorale String Orchestra, soloists Lynn Eustace and Daniel Teat, and narrator Fiona Powell, all under the direction of William Payne. One of the highlights of 30 years as music director and conductor of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale. And so the chorale will end its current performance season with a Pops concert celebrating the best of 30 years. The performance will take place on Saturday, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at Susquehanna University's Weber Auditorium in Sealands Grove. The Pop celebration is part two of a celebration to honor Bill Payne's 30 years as conductor and music director of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale. The chorale will be joined by the SVC stage band and soloists, and some of the featured songs will include ABBA, Forever, It's a Grand Night for Singing, Love Me Tender, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and We Are Family, plus many others. For more information and tickets, svcmusic.org, svcmusic.org. That's the Best of 30 Years, Part 2, a Pops concert presented by the Susquehanna Valley Chorale, the stage band and soloists, under the direction of William Payne, this Saturday, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. at Susquehanna University's Weber Auditorium in Sealands Grove, all to celebrate and honor William Payne's 30 years as SVC conductor and music director, his final concert in that role. For more information, on the web, svcmusic.org.